All right, it is that time, so we'll go ahead and we will get started. Glad everyone's here. And as we start our testimony time tonight, our praise time tonight, I think a great place to start would be where our youth were at this morning. Such an amazing service this morning. Really, really touched, I believe. And so heard so much great feedback online, as well as, you know, as people were going out the door. And sometimes I think we get in the habit of just their youth, they're down there, we know they're good kids, and we know they're staying out of trouble and that type of deal, but we don't realize that we could learn a lot from them sometimes, because they're living that through the middle of junior high and high school, and that's not the easiest thing in the world to do. And so to stand up there today and give those testimonies and share, and just to stand up there and sing, because I don't know how many we had this morning, but we were pretty full. 131. So, and they stood up there, and yeah, some of the looks on their faces, you weren't sure they wanted to be there, but they did an awesome job. And so God has just so blessed this church. Not going to mention any names, but I went to a SAMA meeting this past week, and three churches said, well, our average age of our congregation is about 70 to 75. Three different churches out of six that were there said that. And I'm thinking, we're having a youth service Sunday, and it was amazing. But I mean, not just a youth service, but just throughout our congregation, we are so blessed. And so we never want to take that for granted. So tonight we are going to be in Psalm 138. I had planned on being in Romans 3 till about Thursday afternoon. And it just, I don't know, it just wasn't what I felt. And we may be back there next week, I don't know. But it just did not feel right to me this week. And so I actually, Thursday or Friday, I went to Psalm 146. I thought, boy, this is more of what I feel like, you know, God's wanting me to understand, because it's about praising God. And so I was pretty sure that was where we were going to be. And so I studied that one Thursday and Friday. And I had been studying over the week 138, and this afternoon, God just kind of laid on my heart. He said, no, we're going to do 138. I'm like, okay, that's for it. So we are in Psalm 138 tonight, because God has laid on my heart something that, like I've said in the past, when I'm up here, God will say something to me or have, and it's just something, that a statement that sticks out to me. And it was, and Kay and I and Larry have talked about this, it's that praying for the manna. Being thankful for the manna, the just the everyday things. And so I've been trying to be more aware of giving thanks to God for everything. And so that's kind of where I've been this week. And this is one of those psalms. Mine is titled, Give Thanks to the Lord. And so as we get into this passage tonight, that's kind of where my heart was at, is I've been thinking about how I could give more thanks to God, thank God more, and for different things. And I caught myself saying, well, I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for that, and that type of a deal. But then he kind of convicted me just a little bit with this first verse here. And as we get into this, I want to pray before we do. But even though it's a praise of thanksgiving, there's a lot of conviction to me in this passage. So let's go ahead and open with prayer. Father God in heaven, we thank you and we praise you for the blessings you give us. Lord, for such a great day in your house, which every day in your house is great. But Lord, we thank you and praise you for what you're doing in the lives of those youth, and Lord, how they bless our church. So I know they bless you. Father, as we open your word tonight, Lord, show us how we need to thank you. Show us that you are there. Help us to experience you in a new and mighty way. every single day. I thank you and I praise you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I give thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. As we dig into that first verse there, in second verse, first and second verse, there are so many things in this passage, and it talks about individual praise, it talks about international praise as far as nations, and it talks about an invincible praise that we should have as well. And sometimes I think the individual praise is really easy because I see the individual things in my life. But man, how do we ever get to that point of our nation and nations praising God? And I don't have a complete answer for that other than the fact that I just need to pray for my country. I just need to pray for Afghanistan and other countries in our world that they would hear the love of Jesus Christ. And so as we look at this, it says, I give thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. David is writing this, and he's writing this psalm, this psalm of thanksgiving, and he says, I want to give thanks with my whole heart. And like I said, I've tried to be more aware of being thankful for things because I don't want to ever, the more I'm thankful, the less I'm complaining. I think that's kind of the way I see it. Where I try to see it that way. If I'm thanking God for something, then I'm probably not in the same breath going to complain about something else right beside it. And so that's kind of where I've been. But also, as I caught myself, well, God, I thank you for this and I thank you for that. And it's just been this off of the top of my head, out of my eyes, what I see, I thank him for. And that's not a bad thing to thank him for everything. But in this verse, I got the conviction of with my whole heart. Do you really understand, or am I really understanding it? When I thank God for something, is it with my whole heart? Or is it with, well, I'm thankful that I'm not without this? Because sometimes I think that's where my thanks comes from. I'm thankful that I have a house because I wouldn't want to be without a house. But that's not where thanks is at. The thanks is I want to thank you, Lord, with my whole heart. It's not about the material things. It's about the fact that God preserves my life and God takes care of me and God watches over me and he supplies my every need. And so my thanks should come from my heart to my Lord. And yes, it's about all of these other things, but too many times I'm thanking him for the fact that I'm not without these other things. And even if I was without these other things, be it a house or a car or a job or whatever, I would still need to thank him. But too many times our thanks, for me, I'm speaking for me, I'm not going to speak for you, but too many times my thanks that go up to God are about the material things in my life. God, I thank you for the material things in my life. Well, if those were pulled away, would I still be thanking God? Is kind of where I'm getting at. And so it's more of, God, I thank you because you give me these things that I need. I thank you that you love me and you take care of me. And so my thanks is rooted in God more than the material things around me. And so I couldn't even get through the first verse before God's like, you're doing this all wrong. You need to be thanking me for me. And all those other things, as he tells us in Matthew, you know, he's going to give me everything I need. He's going to supply all my needs. You know, we're in Philippians, and if I'll seek his kingdom first in Matthew, he's going to take care of me. And so it's about me. He says, Steve, you need to thank me for me. So, and that, if I do that, it will be with my heart. It goes on, it says, I will give thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise.
And as I was studying this week, I'm thinking, okay, well, I don't think I really go out and I praise my God before other gods. And so as I begin to study this phrase here, as David is writing this thanks, and he's talking about his worship and his praise to God, and it'll talk in verse 2 about, I bow down toward the holy temple. And so he's talking about the presence of God, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But he's saying, one belief is, I thank you before all the angelic beings out there, before everything out there. You know, I want to come into your presence, God, and where the angels are serving you and the angels are worshiping you, I want to come into your presence and I want to worship you. I want to thank you in the presence of all the angels. I want to sing your praise before everybody. And that's one interpretation of this, before the gods. Another is that interpretation of, I want to sing your praise before all the earthly rulers, the people that were looked up to, and not specifically at this point yet the, you know, those idols and the gods of other people, those pagan idols, but those human rulers, those people that are above me. I want to sing praise to God and thank Him before those people that are above me. And I never thought about this till just now. Think about how hard that is when you have a superior in your office or your school or wherever, or just in your life, somebody that you really look up to for whatever reason. Is it as easy to sing God's praises before them as it is that person that is just your buddy, that person that's right there with you side by side, or maybe before your children? You know, think about those youth this morning. They're standing before not just some of their peers, but before their parents, before their grandparents, before the elders in their church, and they're singing praises to their God. That's not easy to do, because you and I know that we don't do it a lot of times when we should. And so as he says here, before, I want to sing your praise and give thanks before the people that are above me on this earth. Another way of looking at that, before the gods, is before those false gods. People that have those false gods out there, David may have been saying, I want to sing God's praise and I want to give thanks before everybody else's false god. I'm not just going to go to my little room and I'm going to thank God in my room, or I'm going to not speak up in this case or that case because I'm going to thank God for all He does in my quiet time, and not just the people around me, but those people that are against what I believe. It's harder. It's one thing when we're thinking, man, I'm in the presence of angels and I'm praising God and I'm thanking God. That's pretty easy. When I'm trying to thank God and praise Him before people that are above me, you know, maybe they believe the same as I do, maybe they don't believe at all. But here we're talking about those people that are believing false gods and they're worshiping false gods. And so it's not just thanking God before just people that are just there. You're thanking God before people that do not believe the way you believe. That's thanking God before you know, someone of a false religion. You know, not necessarily false idols, because we don't have that as much as far as the little idols, that type of deal. But those people that believe different than you. Well, I don't want to get into a discussion with them. I don't want to get into an argument with them. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about letting them know, this is your God. And I'm going to praise my God. I'm going to thank my God from the bottom of my heart. And then the last way of looking at this, before the gods, giving thanks to the Lord with my whole heart before the gods of my life. Man, this one hits really close to home sometimes, because we know it's difficult to give thanks to a lot of things, but when I'm focused on the things in my life the things that are there, then I've got to remember to always put God first, and you and I don't always do that. It's got to come to a point that my whole heart goes to God first. And so I'm going to thank God before all the other things in my life, and I'm going to do it with my whole heart. So I'm going to give my whole heart to God first, and then see where He wants me to go. I'm going to thank God first with my whole heart. I'm going to praise God first with my whole heart. My whole heart is God's, and then we'll see where He wants me to go. But He's going to come before all those other gods in my life. And so as we get into this next verse, verse 2 says, I bow down toward the holy temple. Now, the translation, some of you may have tabernacle in your Bible there, and I think tabernacle is probably a better translation, because at this time, when David is writing this, the temple, the actual temple, has not been built yet. And so it's probably more of a tabernacle, the dwelling place of God that he's talking about. I will bow down toward the holy temple, or towards that meeting place, towards that presence of God. And so David is saying, I'm going to bow down towards the temple. And we know that throughout the Bible, there's many times that it tells us that Daniel would open his windows and he would pray towards the temple, and all the things that it talks about of how people would bow down and pray. And I think that's what it's talking about. But I think it also ends up talking here is, I'm going to bow down or surrender towards your presence, God. I want to thank you for everything from the bottom of my heart, with all of my heart, but I'm going to surrender to your presence. I'm going to bow down or surrender to your holy temple, or towards your dwelling place, towards your presence. I want to totally surrender. Here a while back, I talked to a guy, I think I told you a little bit, and he couldn't understand that word surrender, where that come from, when I was talking to him, and I may have shared that last week, but I think that's so key. I've thought about this whole week, is for me to truly thank God with my whole heart, I have to surrender my whole heart. And I surrender towards His presence. I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name. Again, it goes back to giving thanks again. He just got through talking about giving thanks with my whole heart. Now I bow down or surrender to your presence, and I give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. As we look at the steadfast love, and there's so many different translations the way they translate that, but it really comes down to that type of covenant love that God has for His people, that because He is God, He will not break that. It is there. It is never wavering. It is a love that He has for you and He has for me, even when we mess up. And we thank Him for that when we mess up, right? I mean, that's kind of the way I do it. You know, I am so grateful that God doesn't give up on me right after a moment that I know most people would give up on me. And so we were thankful for that unwavering love when it's, I need your grace or I need your mercy. But what about just those normal times? Man, we need to stop and think, in a normal day, in a normal time, when maybe things aren't falling apart, maybe things aren't on the top of the mountain, but it's just those normal times that we just thank God for no other reason than His steadfast, unwavering love. Not because it's unwavering, but because it's His love for us that's unwavering. And then it goes, the second part of that says, for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. And I can't say enough, and you guys know as well for your lives as individuals, how faithful God is. How faithful God is in the little things, but the big things as well. Because He is just a faithful God. He and to thank Him for His steadfast love and His faithfulness is where we need to be. But sometimes my faithfulness is not there. His is always there, but mine isn't always there. I'm not faithful to thank Him. I'm not faithful to praise Him. I'm not faithful to serve Him. But yet He is always faithful. He is always loving. He is always there. So we need to thank Him for His steadfast love and Your faithfulness. For You have exalted above all things Your name and Your word. God has set His name above everything. God has set His name above everything. You have exalted Your name above everything. But when we look at our world and people want to put the name of Jesus out there, it doesn't appear to be exalted above anything sometimes. That's the way they look at it. That's the way they treat it. It's not something. But He Himself, there is no other name above Jesus. He has exalted it up there. If it's not up there in my life, in your life, in this world, it's because somebody's pulled it down in their mind. Now, you and I, we know that He is up there. And we know actually nothing can pull that name down. Nothing can pull that down. But we also know that there are people in this world that want to make it appear to be pulled down. They want to pull it down because it makes them feel guilty. That it makes them not be able to have life revolve around me. I can't be a God in my life if Jesus is held above all else because He's not even the top of my life. That mentality. And so as we see our world seem to bring Jesus' name down, understand that that is not where He's at. He is still up here. And the world may live like He's down here. But when you and I continue to live with the exalted name of Jesus as the name above all other names, no other name under heaven whereby you must be saved, He is ultimately it. He is the Son of God. That's where He put His name. If it's not there in your life, then you pulled it down. If it's not there in my life, I pulled it down. It says also there, He says, you exalted Your name above. Excuse me, let me go back and read this also. It stays in context. It says, I give thanks to Your name for Your steadfast love and Your faithfulness, for You exalted above all things Your name and Your word. Man, how many times do we lose sight of that? That God's word is exalted. And we know that Jesus is the Word, but we know that as He gives us His Word, if this is truly exalted in my life, then I live by this. Again, the world is like, that's just a book. That's just one of four books. That's just something that's out there, and yeah, it's a good history. No, this is the Word of God that was given to men to write down and kept year after year after year after year through time. Nothing, not one bit of it will ever pass away. It is exalted. It is there. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. It is what God has given us to help sanctify our lives to be more like Jesus Christ. He has used it to glorify Himself. He has used it to bring the world, the lost, to Him. It has to be exalted in your life and my life, because it's not going to be exalted on Facebook. It's not going to be exalted on the evening news. It's not going to be exalted in D.C. It has to be exalted in your life and my life, and let them do with it what they will. And we pray that they will do the right thing.
closed it up, got excited, lost my place. It's all right. Worst things could happen. But we need to realize that we thank Him for His steadfast love, His faithfulness, and that His name and His word is exalted. Because, verse 3, on the day I called you, on the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. And on the day I called you, you answered me. Now, there are times in your life and in my life when it seems like I called God and He didn't answer that day. Yeah, He did. He may not have given me the answer that day, or He may not have given me the answer I wanted that day. But I heard a song this week, and this just come to me, and it talks about what God does between the prayer and the answer. And it talked about, well, God has to break down these walls and this and that. No, God answers like He did with Daniel. I think He answers because He knows ahead of time what you're praying. And so I think He answers that day. I may not get that answer before I get up or before I go to bed or even within the next 2 or 3 weeks, but I know in the sureness of my heart that my God is faithful and He's going to answer my prayers. And knowing that, we can look at this next part of this verse. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. My inner being, my inner soul, that's where God gives me that strength, because I know that I know that I know He's faithful. I know He's answering. I know He knows what's best for me. And I may be falling apart on the outside, but He's if I just pray to Him and I know that He is answering, then I have that inner strength that, yeah, I may not be able to get out of bed, but I know my God loves me and I know my God's going to answer my prayers. And that's kind of what David is saying here. My inner strength, my soul, my strength of soul you increased. I cannot increase my inner soul. Only God can do that. It goes on and it says, all the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Now, this is a verse that it seems like is just kind of put in the middle of this, because David is talking about thanking God and praising God and God's name being exalted and His word being exalted. And all of a sudden here he says, and all the kings of the earth shall give you thanks. That's going to happen one of these days. To this point in history, there's not been a time where all the kings of the earth have given thanks to the Lord. But at that time, all the kings of the earth shall. It's a future thing. Give thanks to the Lord. For at that time, they will have heard the words of your mouth. Whew! It's not because they heard it from me. It's not because they heard it from Billy Graham. It's not because they heard it from somebody else. It says because they heard the words from your mouth. And at that point, it's going to be not just those people that love God, those people that know about God. Everybody is going to hear, I believe, that it's talking about. It says they're going to give thanks for your ways. Now, they may not acknowledge you, but or acknowledge your ways and accept your ways, but they're going to understand that your ways are right. And they shall sing of your ways, O Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. God's glory is going to be so great that people are going to be singing about it. People are going to be praising because of His glory. And then it goes to verse 6. And it's like it comes back to us. They say, for though the Lord is high, He regards the lowly, but the haughty He knows from afar. God is
above all. God is everything. God is there, and we know it. And the nations are going to sing praise to Him. And He's saying here, even though God is above everything, the Lord is high. He regards the lowly. He regards the humble. He will exalt the humble. He acknowledges the humble. Those that we think sometimes of humble being that person that puts themselves down, the opposite of the prideful. And that's true. It's talking about that, but it's also talking about when I am willing to bow down to the Lord, with Him as my God, with Him as my Savior, with Him as my Lord. When I am willing to do that, I submit myself to Him. I surrender to Him. I have become lowly, or I have become humble, knowing that He's above me. And He says, even though He's high, He regards the lowly. He has regard for those that are humble, those that surrender themselves to Him. And the last half of that verse, but the haughty or the proud, He knows from afar. When I first saw that, I thought, well, you know, it's the opposite of those that have surrendered to Him. He sees that from afar. And I thought, those people that are proudful, that are way out there, that don't care anything about God, He knows that. He knows where they're at. He sees them as well. But as I think about that, I think He regards the lowly, but the haughty or the prideful, He knows from afar. Those people that are hypocrites, that it's really about them, their religion's really about them, He sees them from afar. He sees that it's a pride thing. It's not about God. It's not about Him. You've not surrendered. You've not submitted. It's about you. And He sees that from afar off. Even though you think nobody else does, He does. Verse 7, it says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, You preserve my life. You stretch out Your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and Your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of Your hands. Man, as we take those passages there, as you begin to read that first verse there in 7, if I put yea in the front of that, where does that take you? Yea, though I walk, right? That's where it takes us, Psalm 23, right? And it's really the same mentality. Though I walk, instead of through the valley of the shadow of death, yea, though I walk in the midst of trouble. Man, God, even though I'm not talking about the death of a loved one here, I'm talking about just the midst of life. Yea, though I walk through that life, the midst of all that trouble that's there. Even though I walk in the midst of that trouble, that tells me right there what David's going to say is, You're with me. Not just You're with me, though. Look at what he does here in these two verses. It says, though I walk in the midst of this trouble, You preserve my life. Think about that. I know some of you do preserving, you know, green beans or whatever, canning, whatever you want to call it. You preserve food. I can remember my grandma did that for years, and we would have to go pick green beans and then bring them in, and it was just not a good thing. But we had family time, so that was a good thing. But as I look at this, he says, even though I walk through the middle of this trouble, You preserve my life. Man, I look back at those green beans, and probably 20 years after my grandma passed away, those green beans were still in the basement. I don't think I'd have wanted to eat them, but they were still down there. But I think as God does that same thing with my life, in the midst of all the trouble that's going on around me, God preserves my life. He gives me that additive that's going to keep me where He wants me. He gives me that something in my life that's going to preserve. He puts me not necessarily in a glass jar with a copper lid on it, but He has His way of, even though people may not be able to see it, it's glass and it's clear, it's see-through, whatever you want to call it. He has a way of putting His hands around me that preserve my life. He puts something inside me to preserve my life. Even though I walk through this trouble, He preserves my life. It goes on, it says, you stretch out your hand. Now, that's a term in the Bible that any time to stretch out a hand, it meant fighting. It meant some kind of attack. It meant some kind of a battle type of a mentality. When one country would stretch out its arm against another, it was a fight. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies. God fights for me. That's what it's telling me. That's what David's saying here. In the midst of everything I'm going through, and he had family problems, he had nation problems around him, he had problems everywhere, but he knew that when it come right down to it, God was on his side and God was going to fight for him. God was going to stretch out his hand against his enemies. And even though I may not see that my enemies lose, because ultimately we think that when somebody is in a battle, if I have the strongest warrior on my side, then ultimately I'm probably going to win. But that's not what he's saying. He said, you just need to know that I'm fighting for you. Because there was times in the Bible that the children of Israel lost because that was what was best for them. There's times in my life where if I'd have got my victory, if I'd have got the victory my way, I probably wouldn't have been where I'm supposed to be. But as long as I know that God is fighting for me, I can rest in the assurance of knowing that the battle truly belongs to the Lord and He will put me where He wants me when it's over. And so, though I walk in the midst of trouble, He preserves my life and He fights for me, and your right hand delivers me. In the Bible, the right hand referred to the strength of God. Man, I love that. Because he says, your strength delivers me. Because you and I both know that we don't have the strength to deliver ourselves. Man, so many times in my life, I know that I'm going to do everything, and then when I fail, God's going to come along and His strength will be there. In my weakness, it shows His strength. No, I don't have any strength. All I have is weakness. His strength is going to deliver me. It's going to deliver me as far as I need to go. Not as far as I want to go, maybe. But His strength is going to deliver me as far as I need to go. He will put me where He wants me to be. So even though I walk in the midst of this trouble, He preserves my life. He fights for me. He is the strength to deliver me. Then in verse 8, the Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Man, I love that. And you can go to Philippians. And it tells us the same thing. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Man, if I go back, and it all goes back to this very first part of this, I give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. If my whole heart is God's, all this other stuff's going to fall into place. If I pull my heart back away from God, then I've pulled my hand out of receiving those blessings. But it says, the Lord will, if my heart is right, the Lord will fulfill His purpose in me. And as I read that and as I think about that, well, God is going to fulfill His purpose for me. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. He is not going to give up on me. Even in times, sometimes when I give up on myself, when you give up on yourself. It just seems that way. But we need to understand that if we make sure that our heart is right, get our heart back where it belongs, the Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. The last part of verse 8 says, your steadfast love, going back to that love that we thanked Him for earlier, your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. Lord, here I am. Your steadfast love is going to last forever. I'm yours. You're going to endure, and I know you will never forsake the work of your hands. Not the work of Steve's hands, not the way I've made my life, the work of His hands. God is so amazing. And we want to thank Him, we want to praise Him, but we need to make sure that our whole heart is in it. That it's not just that word of mouth or that action because we have material things. It's everything. We need to get our inner strength from Him. We need to keep His name exalted. We need to keep His word exalted in our lives. Because if I don't keep His word exalted in my life, if I don't keep His name exalted in my life, then how is His name going to be exalted in my family? It's not going to happen very easy. If we don't keep His name exalted in this church, and not that this church is any better than any other church, but if we as a congregation do not keep His name exalted, His word exalted in this church, how is that going to help this town? If we don't do it in this town or in this state, or in this country, then how is it going to happen in this world? So it comes down to, yeah, I hate it when they don't do it in D.C., or I hate it when they don't do it in Afghanistan, or I hate it when they don't do it in California. Steve, you worry about doing it on your turf. First in Jerusalem, my circle. Judea, Samaria, the other parts of the world. That's the way we're supposed to witness. But that's also the way we're supposed to exalt His name. It comes down to, am I going to exalt His name as an individual? Are you going to exalt His name as an individual? If we do, then He'll preserve our life. He'll fight for us. He will be our strength. He will fulfill His purpose in us. And that will be through all eternity because His love endures forever. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I thank You so much for Your word. I thank You, Lord, that You are so amazing. Lord, I pray that we would never just put You out there as just a God. Lord, that I would never just, hey, this is the holy word of God and go on. God, help me to always, always, always exalt Your name, exalt Your word in my life, and in every opportunity You give me that I bring glory and honor to You. I pray that for myself. I pray that for each individual. I pray that for our church. Lord, I pray that for Your body. Lord, give us the strength. Give us the passion. Thank You for loving us. In Your name we pray. Amen.